Online for the whole world. So, anyway, so we're talking about Radha Kunda. So, as far as the appearance of Radha Kunda is concerned, it has to do a lot with the story from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Arishtashura story. You know Arishtashura? Arishtashura was a bull demon. He was full of bull. Anyway, so he was a bull demon. And he, of course, did what demons normally do. Attacking Krishna and the coward boys and everything like that. And Krishna took him and he killed him. So when Krishna killed a bull, or when Krishna kills a calf, there's something to pay for that. You know, even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't get away with killing a calf or a bull, even if they happen to be demons. So the coward boys, actually the gopis at this particular juncture, said to Krishna that you've committed a very heinous activity, that means a very sinful activity, and so to atone for it, you have to go bathing in all the holy places. And to make a long story short, Krishna said, you know, I'm not leaving Vrindavan, and he dug out with his flute the a ditch of the ground, and he called for all the personified holy places, and they filled this kund. And then Krishna took a bath immediately. And then he said to the gopis, you can also take a bath in my kund. And the gopis said, no way, because your kund is now contaminated. They have all the holy places, but you took a bath there. Mm-hmm. And these are the joking interactions. This is also what I'm talking about with Bhav. There are different rasas. There are the five basic rasas, which we know, the Shantaras, Dasharas, Sakiras, Vatsalyaras, and Maturyaras. And there's seven indirect rasas, like ghastliness, humor, anger. And so all these flavor the direct rasas. And oftentimes I've talked about that, especially in Fiji, as something like garam masala. That flavors the original taste of the vegetable. It makes it tasty. So here you find the gopis exhibiting anger towards Krishna. Krishna exhibiting fear towards the gopis. And repentance. And, you know, so many, and of course chivalry too, when he killed the Arishtashura demon. So all these indirect rasas are actually flavoring this particular pastime. So then Krishna said, you can bathe. The gopis said, no. And they said, we're going to make our own kund. So from the hoof prints, I believe it was the hoof prints of the Arishtashura, they said, this is going to be our kund, and we're going to fill it with water from the Manasa Ganga and make sort of like a brigade. A brigade means like a long line of people, like you have a fire brigade. That's, yeah, actually in Fiji, I think they still call the fire department the fire brigade. Because usually when they had to put out a fire, they passed buckets from one person to another. They didn't have hoses in the old days. And so they tried to make a brigade. It wasn't successful. Krishna said, you could use my water. And they said, no, we don't want to use your water. And finally, the personified holy places begged to fill the Radha Kund, which was dug up by Radharani and her associates. Actually, with their jewelry, too. They actually dug it further and deeper. And she agreed, and then the waters, the personified holy place waters from the Shamakund, overflowed from the Shamakund and filled the Radhakund. And Krishna said, from this day forward, I will bathe in your kund. And Radharani said, from this day forward, I will bathe in your kund. And Krishna said, from this day forward, Radhakund is as dear to me as Srimati Radharani is. So in other words, it's like liquid Srimati Radharani. Sometimes the devotees ask why I don't go completely, you know, complete snan into Radha Kund. Well, I would say that more has to do with more with my bhav, which I'm going to reveal anyway. My particular emotional state. Actually, there are injunctions. You're supposed to bathe in Radha Kund. And under the instruction of Mayapur, I did bathe completely in Radhakund. Actually, even when you weren't here. During the summer, one time I went complete with all my clothes into Radhakund. And I dried up within 5 minutes after that. But anyway. So, anyway, I did several times. But then, something inside me, I guess it was super soul or something, said to me that, you know, Radhakund is actually not different than Srimati Radharani. And you should not put your dirty feet, which are not lotus feet, into the kund. So then I was looking for someone to hold me by my feet. And, you know, I went to Mayapur, and his back just wasn't good for it. You know, to hold me by his, you understand? And dip me into the kund. And so then I went on a diet, so that's why I actually reduced my weight. But didn't reduce it enough. So anyway, joking aside, it was just like in my internal realization that, you know, I am Radharani's servant, and that don't put your feet there. And then I heard stories from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that he forbade all of his disciples from bathing in Radhakund. I mean, what happened at the beginning in ISKCON was that Prabhupada's disciples did go into Radhakund, but they were doing chicken fights inside Radhakund. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada said, you're like kicking Radharani. So Prabhupada sort of did allow them in the beginning, and then when he saw they didn't have the proper attitude, then he forbade the devotees and said, just sprinkle some water on your head. So my intention is not to criticize anyone who's going into Radhakund. Certainly that's between them and Srimati Radharani. But my own mood is that I'm Radharani's servant, and I'm not going to put my feet in Radhakund. I mean, unless she makes me slip on the edge and then fall under something like that. That's another thing. But I'm just not going to do it. I mean, it's just like, somehow or other, you know, that's my bow, and it's life, and I'm not going to impose my particular emotions on other people, except saying that's my suggestion to my disciples. But anyway, if that's not imposing, I don't know what is. Anyway, because you get the same benefit. And we should, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we could live at Govardhan, which we're doing right now, but we keep Radhakund on our head. And he said, if you stay in Radhakund and you're not qualified, then Radhakund becomes Narakakund to you. In other words, it becomes hell. You go to hell. And I'll tell the story of one disciple who I told some time ago, do not bathe in Radhakund. You just sprinkle some water. And she was thinking, you know, what does Guru Maharaj know? And so she went bathing in Radhakund, you know, splashing herself and everything in Radhakund. And shortly after that, she left Krishna consciousness completely. Not only ISKCON, she left Krishna consciousness completely, and she's still gone. I pray for her. You know, not that I in no way want people to leave. Even if they don't follow my instructions, I still pray for them. I still want them to come back. So, still, you know, one has to be very qualified. One has to be very, very qualified. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, I mean, he did bathe the bathroom, but he arranged for a well to be dug, which we'll talk about in a minute, so that people wouldn't clean their clothes in Radhakund and the cooking utensils, because it's a very sacred thing going into Radhakund. I mean, Radhakund is liquid, like liquid Radharani. And it's just like, wow. I mean, just, I feel the same way right now that, you know, that I wouldn't put my feet on the deity of Radharani, and I wouldn't put my feet in Radhakund. That's my mood. I know you're going to find quotes from other people saying something different. And I'm not arguing with those quotes. It's a question of Bob at that point. You know, people are entitled to their own emotional exchanges with Krishna, and that's mine. So, that's how Radhakund was formed. So what happened is that the Goswamis established the temples in Vrindavan. Actually, the original Radha Gopinath was established by Madhu Pandit and in Vrindavan. So you have these Goswami temples like Radha Govinda in Vrindavan, which you'll see when you do the Vrindavan Parikrama. Radha Govinda, Radha Chan Shunda, Radha Gopinath, Krishna is saying something. The light of the one. Radha Damodar, and these temples were established directly and by the Goswamis, and not only that, at least one of the Goswamis, at least the older, the younger Goswamis like Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they arranged for the construction of the temples. Even if the personalities who installed the deities or found the deities weren't the ones who constructed the temple themselves, and some of the temples were constructed by Akbar, who was actually very much interested. It was a Muslim Emperor Akbar, who was very much interested in bringing all the religions together, and he was basically had a Hindu wife too from Jaipur. So he paid for a lot of the temples. Later on, his grandson Aurangzeb was a little nasty and tried to tear down some of the temples. But anyway, so after the temples were built and the deities were, I wouldn't say installed because many of them were found, because many of them were the original deities installed by Brajanava or found by Brajanava. The Mughals, that is the Muslims, attacked Vrindavan. And when they attacked Vrindavan, the devotees, in order to protect the deities, brought many of the deities to Radhakund. And when they brought them to Radhakund, what?
Aircon. It'll get very hot and very fast.
Okay. Aircon. So when they brought the deities to Radhakund, they established temples for those deities. So that's why in Radhakund, you will find temples that are replicas, not replicas in the way that they look the same or constructed the same, of the original temples in Vrindavan. There's actually two Radha Damodar temples in Radhakund. And there's Radha Shamsunda, Radha Govinda, and all the basic Goswami temples are there at Radhakund. So then, our friends the Muslims, are Mughals. Now there's different, there's actually a difference when, between Mughal and Muslim. The Mughals were Muslims, but not all Muslims, it'll go on a second, not all Muslims are Mughals. The Mughals were actually the, turn it off. You gotta get line of sight. The Mughals were actually, the Genghis Khan people, if any of you know who Genghis Khan is. They were people from the north, who came and invaded, Iraq and other countries, where there were very educated Muslims who were actually respecting other religions. So it's not that the Muslim religion is inherently, let's say, bad, but it's the Mughal influence of the Muslim religion. Try to understand that. So these Mughals, they decided to attack Radhakund. And so then the deities from Radhakund were taken to places like the original deities that were originally in Vrindavan. They were taken to places like Jaipur, Udaipur, Natwar, and Rajasthan. Because Rajasthan, the Rajputs are so strong that even the Mughals couldn't defeat them. And I was telling the story the other day how much the Rajputs are fighters. That one time I had an argument in the temple with a Rajput devotee, and he said, "You're lucky you're a sannyasi, because if you weren't, I would kill you." So, if you're not a sannyasi, don't get an argument with someone from Rajasthan. It's not a good idea. Actually, one of my disciples is married to a girl from Rajasthan, but she's not dangerous because she's a little short. That's Krishna, little Krishna for you? Yeah. Some of you may have met her. So anyway, the deities were moved away. The original deities were moved away from Radhakund area. And the people felt so much separation that they decided to install what we call Pratibhu deities in most cases. That means replica deities. They're not all Pratibhu deities. Like the Radha Gopinath deities of Janava Mata are not Pratibhu deities. But to install replica deities of the original deities, and very important, those Pratibhu deities have the same bhav and same potency as the original deities. This is a very important point about spiritual emotions or remembering Krishna. That if you remember Krishna and have spiritual emotions, then wherever you are, that's Vrindavan. And if you're not remembering Krishna and you have material bhav, bhava rog, then wherever you are is the material world. In other words, you can be here in Braj and have material consciousness and you are not here. Because you are wherever your mind is, wherever your consciousness is. So, therefore, these temples and these deities is just as good as being at the original temple, original deities. And the Goswamis also resided in Radhakund, specifically Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the main Mahant or Acharya in Radhakund and arranged for the excavation of the Radhakund, making it bigger, and Chamakund, and arranged for much of the infrastructure that the older infrastructure at Radhakund. However, because he came from a very rich family who was afraid of entanglement, everything in Radhakund was in the name of Srila Jiva Goswami instead of Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, one of his main teachings was his escape from his very rich home and taking up the greatest of austerity. So he didn't want to put his name to any document. You know, he signed certain things, but he didn't want to be considered like the owner or the person who was acting on behalf of the owner, who was the deity. So that's Radhakund. That's the history of Radhakund. Now we're going to go over my famous map here, which probably nobody could read. It's written in a different language. And go over the different places we're going to visit. Of course, first, when we go to Radhakund, here we go, we have to get permission from the guardian of Radhakund. And who is the guardian of Radhakund? I mentioned him today. What? Who? Yeah, but what's his name? Kundeshwara Mahadev. And there is actually four directions in Radhakund, and there's a Lord Shiva in each direction.
The other book actually means...
Yeah, but it just gave the north, south... It's actually the Sanskrit word for north, south, east, and west.
Oh, the new book calls them Rameshwara, Mahadeva, and I forget the last
name. Rameshwara is in Mathura.
Anyway, this is...
Anyway.
The new book has given names.
Yeah, because that's... Rameshwara is the one that the Kamsa worship in Mathura. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't matter. North, south, east, west. Lord Shiva. So, anyway, so let's... Like I said, in different books there's different things. Not that you're wrong. It's just... depends on which book you read, which is the point I was making before. So we get permission from Lord Shiva. And after we get permission from Lord Shiva, we proceed clockwise, and we're going to take some detours off of the whole parikrama going around. We proceed clockwise around the Kund, and we arrive at this first mandir, which is called Puran Mandir, Radhakrishna, the Puran deities. Puran means, of course, historical or original or old. So these were the deities, Radhakrishna deities, that were discovered by Raghunath, and you can correct me if I get something wrong. They were discovered by Raghunath Das Goswami in the Kund, right? So no, as I'm going around, just tell me, you're wrong, Gurudev. Because I'm not saying that I'm going to remember all the details. I mean, definitely, there's a lot of places. So, anyway, so we go to the Puran Mandir, and we see the deities there, these original deities. They're the oldest deities. And after that, we actually go off the road backwards a little bit in the parikrama path, and we visit a place called the Mariahari Kund. Mariahari Kund is the place where the famous pearl pastime took place, which Champaka will tell you tomorrow, that pearl pastime. And then we retrace our steps. We've actually left the whole parikrama path at this particular point going around Radhakund. Right? Now we're going back to it. And we go to the Radhakunjabihari temple established by Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, which we saw today. Then we continue our parikrama, and the first temple is the Radhakanta temple, that was established by a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Vrikeshwara Pandit. Vrikeshwara Pandit was a great dancer. He would dance for 72 hours without stopping. Pretty good. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I had two wings, I have two devotees like you, it would be like two wings, I could fly in the air. So that's the Radhakanta temple. And then, proceeding a little further, as we see Radhakunda on our right, there's the Gopal temple, which we went to today, which was the temple that is run by the followers of Bhakti Sarupadhar Maharaj. Remember the samadhi we saw there. And that's originally was the Manipuri devotees who ran that temple. Now there's devotees from Fiji and other places who are in that temple. So we'll visit the temple there and see the deities again. Then we proceed a little further, then go to the left. You don't have to remember all the directions yet. And visit the Radhashyamasundara temple, which is Shyamananda Goswami's temple. We proceed on that side path a little further and visit a Radhadamodar temple, Jiva Goswami's temple, and also Bhajan Kutir Srinivasacharya. Remember? Actually, everything I know I was taught by Champagasa. Because I didn't know anything about these places. And then we go to the Radha Gopinath temple, which we saw today. Remember the Radha Gopinath temple with the three deities, like Anangamanjari, Janavamata, and then we also have Krishna and Radharani, little Radharani. And then we saw the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. And then we went to Radhakund to take a little water on our heads. That was the Radha Gopinath temple. Then we visit another deity of Lord Shiva. That's north or what? The north Lord Shiva. How do you say north in Hindi? Pascha? Uttar. Uttar, yeah. That's how I remember it, Uttar. Uttar Shiva. And then, right next to that is the Radharaman temple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And we go in there. Then, phew. Wow. There's a lot happening here. So then we take as we're going around Radhakund and Shyamakund, we take a jog to the left, and we go to the house of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur lived. And we see where Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction by Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur that if you ever get any money, you could sell the marble in the temple to print and distribute books. This is actually where he met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sometimes in the book, in the biography, it's depicted that he was walking on the banks of the Radhakund when he got that instruction. But he was sitting on a swing like this. It was a little bit bigger. And we'll show you where the swing is. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting on the swing and swinging back and forth and giving Srila Prabhupada that instruction. In that house. There's also on that same road, there's the Samadhi of Narahari Saraka Thakur. Then, sounds a little confusing already, we just started. This is how many places. then we go back and go a little distance, actually just cut across on the Parikrama path, and we head into the Tang Mandir. That's not where you take prasad. But that's the Jub Mandir, Juwa Mandir, depending whether you're Bengali or whatever language you speak, where they have the tongue of Govardhan. When they were digging out the well, what's called the Gopi Kupa well, which we circumambulated today, they ran into a stone or hit a stone, and the stone started bleeding. And that night, Raghunath Das Goswami had a dream, and it was revealed to him that that stone was the tongue of Govardhan, and it should be installed in a separate temple. And so that's the temple we're going to visit. That area is being taken care of by Chapaka and Mayapur. in the Padma Trust and kept clean. And by circumambulating, what, seven times, it's considered the same as going around all of Govardhan. So we'll see that. There's also the in the same path, there's the Radha Govinda temple. That's Srila Jiva that's Rupa Goswami's temple. Then we continue a little bit in to the Radhakuchamakund area, and we get to Gopalabhata Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, and then what's called the Teen Goswami Samadhi. And that's it. Correct me if I get all the names. Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. And they all disappeared on the same day in different years. And the reason they're in the same samadhi is that originally they were in different samadhis. Their bodies were in different samadhis, but then the Muslims, the Mughals attacked, and the Mughals were not traditionally, but had this nasty habit of dragging the bodies out of the samadhis and desecrating them, tearing them apart. They used to take the deities sometimes and break apart the deities. That's fireworks.
Not the door?
No. They used to take the deities and break them apart and put them in the road so people would step on the pieces of the deities. So what the devotees did is they took the bodies out of the ground and cremated the bodies, and the ashes of the three bodies are there in this Teen Goswami Samadhi. And then as we're in there near that samadhi, we walk across a little pathway and we get to what's called the Manasa Pavana Ghat. And that's a ghat, or a place where the gopis would bathe on a regular basis. Everyone's following so far? And in that place, there's this Pilu tree, who was an incarnation of a Brahmin in Kashi. And this Brahmana, he wanted to serve the gopis and Krishna, so he took birth as the Pilu tree. And as that Pilu tree, he got a chance to have the gopis' clothes on as they were bathing in the Shyamakund. So later on, that Pilu tree was able to speak to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and tell him about everything that the Pilu tree had seen. So you see many of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's pastimes, and he's actually mentioned as the Rasacharya, are coming from his discussions with the Pilu tree. So you can go and take darshan of the Pilu tree. I mean, in the past, we've gone under the Pilu tree. It's a very small tree. And chanted japa. But don't take any pieces of the Pilu tree. If they have fallen to the ground, then you can take a leaf or a piece of wood. But do not be like most Western devotees, you know, breaking off pieces of trees. We had one devotee who took a whole door from a temple back to the West with him. You know, we're not souvenir hunters. We're hunters of the bhav and the understanding. Not that we should be breaking pieces of the desire trees off to take back with us. And so, right next to that, wow, so many things here. So right, we're not even like a quarter of the way through yet. Right next to that is the Abhajan Kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Raghunath Das Goswami. And so we'll visit those, and we'll tell stories about those two Bhajan Kutirs. And also Gangamata Goswami's temple is there. And also Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is there, in which he composed the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's all in that Manasapavana Ghat area. Wow. Then we go back to the Parikrama path. We've done all this being off the Parikrama path. And to our left, we find the temple of Lord Jagannath, which is the only temple of Lord Jagannath in the Radhakund area. And every year they have a Rath Yatra. And the person who founded that temple, he's written a very, very nice book about the whole Brajmandal Parikrama with a map in it that if you ask for it, you can buy that book. Very, very nice book. All right. Then, continuing around, we come to Jiva, on the right-hand side, we come to Jiva Goswami's temple. Again, there's another Radha Damodar temple. and Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. Then we come to Lalita Kund, which we went to today, which is Lalita's, Lalita is Radharani's Sakhi, one of her principal two Sakhis, Lalita and Vishakha. Lalita has a very fiery mood, Vishakha has a very calm mood, and when Krishna offends Radharani, Lalita is the one who raises the stick to keep Krishna away. So, then we go to that kund, and then there's the next temple is the Radhavinod temple, Loganath Goswami's temple. That's right on the road. It's a very small temple on the road, and you see the deities right from the path. You don't go in there, you just see them from the path. Then we head to the right to go in towards the kund, and on the left-hand side we find the Bhajan Kutir Madhavendra Puri, who is the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then coming back from that, we go around the well of the gopis, the Gopi Kupa, which was dug by Raghunath Das Goswami so the residents of Radhakund wouldn't have to wash their clothes in Radhakund. And that's where the tongue of Govardhan was found. Then coming around the bend, we come to the Radha Madhava temple of Jayadev Goswami. Continuing further, which is very quick, but it's going to take us longer when we do it. We come to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sitting place, which has the tamal tree. You remember that today? And not tamal tree, I'm sorry. The tal tree. Tal tree, which is a type. Yeah, tal fruit, which is the same thing as the Talavan forest. In which Krishna Balaram killed the Dhenukasura demon. So Lord Chaitanya's sitting place. Then next we come to Balabhacharya's sitting place, which has the dice platform upon which Radha and Krishna used to play dice and gamble and broke the regulated principles. Of course, they bet different things like kisses and all sorts of romantic things which sannyasis can't discuss. Then we come to the Radha Madan Mohan temple. Then after that we go to Lord Nityananda's sitting place, which is another Radha Gopinath temple. This temple was founded, as was the Vrindavan temple, by Madhu Pandit. And beautiful deities there, and also Lord Nityananda's sitting place is there. So we circumambulate that and get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And then, then we exit the Radha Kund area, and the final temple we go to is the Radha Gokulananda temple that was founded by Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was a senior devotee who was sent to Braj by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before the six Goswamis of Vrindavan to prepare the ground for the six Goswamis of Vrindavan's later activities in Vrindavan. So that's basically the Radhakund Parikrama. Anything that I missed? Didn't miss anything. So that should take 3 or 4 hours to do. And there'll be stories at each place, yes.
Do we walk?
This is all walking.
Do we walk to Radhakund?
No, tomorrow morning, by the mercy of Praneshwara, hopefully, we should have enough transportation to take us all at 6 o'clock in the morning.
We can start by 5:30, so those will be the early 5:30?
Yeah, just make sure whatever time we start, that there's...
We start at 5:30.
Well, we will start at 6, right?
Yeah, so those who come early, then they can reach there like 30 minutes before.
Yeah, so we'll start here from 6. I mean, at least I will.
Some devotees can go early.
Some devotees can go early to meet us there.
Yes.
So it's important to go early because later on in the day it gets very crowded and very difficult to maneuver around. So we're going to start from here at 6. Hopefully we'll be there by 6:25 or something like that. And then we start this parikrama. It should take minimum 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours.
So now we have the three petals. So three petals we start from the middle.
Sorry, you arrange.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell me anything. Just as long as we can all be there by 6:30 to start the parikrama. So then we start the parikrama from there at 6:30, and it's very much complete absorption in Krishna's pastimes and the pastimes of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And so it's actually a very serious, deep meditation tomorrow. And Radhakund, be very careful with Radhakund and in general in the Holy Dham, because all the people who live in this area, they're very dear to Krishna. Even the monkeys are very dear to Krishna. You don't want to offend any living entity. That's listed as one of the ways of offending in the Holy Dham, committing offense against the residents of Braj. So just be very careful, because offenses are magnified here, devotional service is magnified here. And just careful. Just be careful when you're dealing with the people here. And sometimes you're going to get people, we'll have to arrange, when we finish the Radhakund Parikrama, there will be one of my friends who are the Pandas, and they'll want to do a whole spiel. I mean, I hope to translate that into Hebrew. So they want to. They're going to want to do a whole like ceremony for you. We're going to have to go along with it. They're going to sit you all down on the banks of Radhakund and give you all sorts of different ingredients to offer to Radhakund and ask for a donation afterwards. So you have to go along with it. It's part of visiting Radhakund. Don't offend them. Don't say, you know, we're not interested in you. Just be very respectful to them, because they're all great devotees. And then, you know, that's how they make their living. You know, different people make their living in different ways. I mean, some people sell cars and some people take tours around Radhakund, you know. So we can't decry or criticize people because they have families to support. But remember, they're all great devotees. All great devotees. So, any other questions? Anyway, some of you may not understand English. What's that?
You mentioned the place where the pina tree is. The place where the Krishna stole the clothes?
No, that's not where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. That's where the gopis would hang their clothes when they went bathing in the Shamakund. That's a completely different place and different place in Vraj, where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. But remember, this is the most sacred place anywhere. There is no place higher than Radhakund. You can't get higher than Radhakund. So just, as I say, tiptoe. Be very careful when you're at Radhakund. As they say, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Does everybody understand that expression? Just careful. Bandhanvi savadana mate. Savadan means caution. Be cautious. Anyway, any other questions or comments or problems? We've got a lot of people. What's that? What'd you say?
She wants to get
me. I know that. It will jaldi, just now coming. When? Yeah, there's a sister and a mother. Do everybody in this room is already married? That's a problem. And you got a bunch of men here, so, you know. We're pretty traditional. I usually believe in marriages between men and women, so that's a joke. So it will be arranged. What? Well, better use someone else other than Praneshwar to translate, because he won't tell me what you're saying.
She just wants to know what you're saying.
She wants to know what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, don't tell her the bad jokes.
Yeah. It's probably confusing it.
No, that would be confused.
Yeah.
Tell her that he's saying.
Yeah. Tell her, we'll get a chance to speak tomorrow about it.
Tell her.
Kalbat karega malanda. Kalbat karega.
Koi baat nahi hai. Isn't it? I miss it though.
Isn't it? It's great. It's really great.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Okay, Chumbobi, you have your service. You have your service now for the
week.
No.
She knows everybody.
Chumbobi.
But I don't know
anything. You can interact with people.
But I've never done any
matchmaking. This is your first.
Even my own daughter, I didn't do matchmaking.
Okay, anyway, we'll talk about that. This is definitely not Radha and Krishna. No, enough jokes about it. I mean, it's embarrassing. So, of course, everyone's watching us online. Oh, my God. Anyway, a lot of people. And they're just saying, I want him. Anyway. All right, so let's get ready for tomorrow. It's already 7:10 in the evening, and tomorrow we'll continue this. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hari Bol Deepshika, Ivan, Madhavananda, Hari Dev, Alantab, Srivast, Aryas, Krishna. Wow, Krishna, it's very nice to see you. Arun Tyagi, Bhavin Patel, Shama, Chitshakti, Jivan, Anil Sharma, Leela Shakti, Sudharma. Wow. Anyway, we're having a good time. I'll show you everybody here. Everyone say hello. Big crowd. We got people from Fiji, Croatia, India, Hawaii, Argentina, New Zealand. Where else? Do we live anywhere else? Fiji. Bolivia. And me from Govardhan. And this is Praneshura. Whoops. He's a... See the person right there? That's Praneshura. This is Praneshura's mother and sister. This is the internet. The show is called Eligible Bachelor. Anyway, that's enough. Okay, all good.